Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it off.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
Welcome to the show. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. You have stumbled across the number one internet sports talk show in the world. On top of that, our affiliate radio stations. So good to have you along on a Saturday morning. You know what I said last week? I thought that we were at the end of our thaw. I was so wrong. I am so done with Mother Nature. Who's with me? Guys, my numbers, 917-889-8516. Well, you picked a very special weekend to join us. It is Super Bowl weekend, and we're going to double your money. We're going to double up. This week, not only do you get our show from 9 to 11, as you always do, live, that is, and of course, on Indiana Talks and all of our other various different affiliates across the United States. You also get us tomorrow from 9 to 11. That's right. But tomorrow is our Super Bowl special. I'll tell you what. The Broncos, the Seahawks, who's ready for a football game? And of course, you know, you got the commercials and all of that. So we're going to be breaking all of that down tomorrow. And we're just going to really jump into it. Of course, not to be failed today, we're going to be bringing you a lot of Super Bowl coverage today. So it's Super Bowl weekend. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. I am your host. Your digits are 917-889-8516. If you're on Twitter, it's T-Balance. If you're on Facebook, it's The Balance. Got a great show for you today. Jason Hammer, Hammer and Nigel Show. Always a treat to have him on. He'll be first up, if you will. He'll be coming on, and we're going to be talking some Super Bowl. And then we're going to take a little bit of a break from the Super Bowl and go to another football, soccer. Sean Horton, our in-house soccer expert, is going to be joining us, talking about the Indy 11 and their new stadium, and just bringing you up to speed in the world of soccer. And then at our last hour, we're back to Super Bowl talk. Myself, Axel's going to be joining us, $2 Bill Josh, and Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. So there you go. You got a great show planned for you today. Poo Day. And tomorrow, Super Bowl Sunday. Seahawks, Broncos, I'll tell you what, right here in the Ballast Studios in my house, we're going for old number 18. I'll tell you what, is he one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time? We're going to get into that conversation and that debate. Certainly, he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Wow. Peyton Manning. And maybe there are those who think, well, you know, We should have kept him. When I say we, I'm referring to the Indianapolis Colts, because that's our flagship. That's our home ground. Got to support our own. Of course, as soon as the Indianapolis Colts got put out of it, and I'm sure that if you're listening to me within the anywhere on certainly anywhere on Indiana Talks or anywhere in the state of Indiana, my guess, or Louisiana, or how about this? How about Nebraska? Omaha, Nebraska. Omaha! Give it up for old number 18. To be failed by number 12, the 12th man in Seattle Seahawks. I tell you, this is going to be a good Super Bowl. Guys, if you want to see really who wins championships, is it offense, is it defense? Well, this is the Super Bowl to watch, because you got the best defense against the best offense. And we're going to be breaking all of that down for you. I tell you what, it is going to be. It's just a great time of year. Every year, Super Bowl, and besides that, it's just like a holiday. All right, guys. My name is Sal Mark with Sal Presidente. We'll be right back right after this. Jason Hammer is going to be joining us, and we're going to be talking some more Super Bowl because it's Super Bowl weekend. It's a super weekend to be on the ballots. My name is Sal Mark with El Presidente. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Every year in the cold throes of winter, furry soldiers meet on an AstroTurf battlefield to determine who is top dog. The world watches as distinguished athletes rise above the shadows. Plus, it's just really freaking cute. This is the Puppy Bowl, Game Day Revisited. On the heels of a successful Puppy Bowl 8, fans and dogs alike couldn't contain their excitement for number 9. The league moved to bring back elements that fans love, including extended tailgating hours, the hamster blend, and the thrilling kitty halftime show. With this year's edition of Hedgehog Cheerleaders, it was only a matter of time before the league assessed its first ever excessive cuteness penalty. Safety continues to be a league focus with more water breaks and a biting a defenseless receiver rule were added to further protect puppy players. During negotiations last season, the powerful puppy union landed the cutest benefit of all, more in-game nap time. Sally, a Basset Dachshund mix, put the first points on the board with a pick six, marking the first time a defensive player scored in Puppy Bowl history. The opposing quarterback threw a wounded duck pass. Literally, it was a duck toy. And Sally snatched it right out of the air. Without hesitation, she ran as fast as her paws would take her to the end zone to give her team the early lead. As can be the case at Puppy Bowl, some of the most exciting plays didn't involve scoring or a ball, and weren't even really part of the game. But who can forget the acrobatic performance displayed by Arlo and Coda during their scrum in the fourth quarter? The melee proved irresistible to Juniper, who couldn't wait to join the action. Before you know it, we had an impromptu cute cam moment. Some viewers suspect that certain puppy players were just canoodling up to the camera. But anybody who knows this trio of troublemakers knows when they're out on the field, their focus is solely on the game. Started as a casual pastime, Puppy Bowl has become a renowned sports phenomenon. Legends rise and fall on this acclaimed AstroTurf of hope and dreams. The plays will be recounted and retold through generations of puppies who have followed the game since their eyes first opened. No one can predict what lies ahead for the Puppy Bowl, but it's certain we'll all be watching.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Sal Marquez, El Presidente. It is that time, and I tell you what, there's the guy who really made the Super Bowl shuffle, the hit of the century, is joining us now. The man known as Jason Hammer of Hammer and Nigel Show, who really knows how to romance a woman. How are you doing, sir?
Now, that's an introduction right there. That's
Man,
fantastic.
Anything I could do for you. Remember the Super Bowl Shuffle?
Yeah, I knew I started to get old when I was having interns at the radio station that had no idea what the Super Bowl Shuffle was. That's when I knew I was getting old.
Back in the day, huh? Man, the Super Bowl Shuffle, the Chicago Bears and the New England Patriots. What a great Super Bowl that was. Obviously, we're joined now by Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel Show and also over on WIBC 93.1. How's the new gig working out for you there, sir?
It's going really well. First of all, let me offer my apologies. I'm fighting a little bit of a cold here, so if I sound like Tone Loc, who's had a little bit too much brandy, that's the reason why. But in terms of things here in Indy, it's good. It's, you know, lots of conversation going on IBC, a lot of discussion both ways going on about Peyton Manning, and it's been fun. It's been a blast.
Well, you know what? Don't worry about the way you sound. I just figure that your normal hangover Saturday morning is there. So it's all good. Jason
That's
Hammer.
What I told my wife. I was like, you guys are used to having people hungover, so it's no problem at all.
It's like we don't even notice the difference. Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel Show, a fun guest to have on every as much as we can have on. But every year we have our Super Bowl special. I always try to bring Jason on to break down the Super Bowl. This year is no different. Peyton Manning, the Broncos. Is there another team? I think it's the Seattle Seahawks. Who? By the way, us Indianapolis Colts fans, I firmly believe, I know that this is a national show, and I know the Hawk fans are going to be coming down on us, but I'm going to tell you, I firmly believe we got the 12th man down. Seahawks got nothing compared to Indianapolis, although we don't cause earthquakes, if you will. So the Broncos, the Seahawks, you break it down for us only as Jason Hammer can do, sir.
Well, I think the one thing that's kind of been lost in this whole Super Bowl week, 2 weeks rather, which is hard to do because there's so much things you can talk about in 2 weeks, is the fact that away from Seattle, this Seahawks team is very ordinary. We saw them come into Indianapolis, and Andrew Luck and T.Y. Hilton put on a clinic against these guys. As good as their defense is, and there's no doubt they're the best defense in the NFL, I think Richard Sherman is the best corner in the NFL, but away from that 12th man, away from that rowdy stadium they've got up in the Northwest, they're very beatable. They've done better this postseason, I think this season, going on the road. But all things being equal, you take them away from Seattle, and this team is nowhere near as phenomenal as the one we see playing in home.
Well, you know, another thing I want to talk with you about is the Seahawks and the Broncos, and we always look at Media Day as a fun day, but a lot of times outside of Media Day, there are some really big storylines that come out of Media Day. And, you know, again, we're partial to Indianapolis, but Indianapolis knows how to host an event. And you know what? I watched Media Day. What a great event it was. And by the way, the Super Bowl this year is in East Rutherford, New Jersey, not New York. Everybody's got
exactly.
That confused. It is in New Jersey, not New York. You know, so we got to give the props to East Rutherford, New Jersey. But Media Day, what were your thoughts? Any storylines that you were able to extract from a day at Media Day or the Media Day at the Super Bowl this year?
Media Day has become the biggest waste of time. I put Media Day hand-in-hand with the NFL scouting combine. Don't get me wrong, I love the combine. When the combine comes to Indy, it brings business, it brings revenue, and it does help some individuals, but it's not 1985 anymore. There's tape available. There's every game is being recorded. Every team basically is on the channel somewhere, and with social media, with YouTube, the scouting combine is more or less now just kind of a fashion show, if you will, for the marquee athletes. The interview portion is the only thing good about the scouting combine, and that kind of goes into Media Day now. You're not going to get any major stories coming out of Media Day. When you look at Peyton Manning sitting in a podium and 1,000 people are crowded around him, you're not going to get the answer of whether or not he's going to come back and play 1 year or 2 years. You're going to get him answering questions about the Real Housewives of New Jersey and doing what Peyton Manning does. We always used to joke in the media here, you ask Peyton Manning what time it is, and you're going to get a 15-minute answer. Because that's the way he's programmed to speak with people, and he'll even admit, the longer my answer is, the less you have time to answer questions. So, ask questions, rather. So, Media Day has just become more or less just a clown show now for, you know, pop culture outlets, late-night talk shows, and a lot of folks from overseas.
And a show called Hammer and Nigel, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Hey, you guys would fit in great. With you guys are the perfect Media Day out. Don't take this the wrong way. I love your show. But your show, you're right. Your show is the perfect outlet for Media Day. So let's talk about the Broncos. Let's talk about the Seahawks. Obviously, both of those. And really, in a lot of ways, we're probably going to see one of the best Super Bowls ever. We got the best defense, and in my opinion, against the best offense, really probably one, and we'll get into that conversation throughout the offseason, but Denver Broncos, Peyton Manning, by far probably the best quarterback to ever play the game. It is going to be, excuse the cliche term, but epic.
I want to see what happens in the first 10 minutes. If Denver can get a score early, to me, honestly, there's a chance they may blow Seattle out. If Denver can get rolling early, there's a chance it could be lights out. Because as good as Seattle is, and as phenomenal as that D is, if they give up a couple big plays, those receivers, and the Broncos can get right down the field, get a quick touchdown, get up 10-0, 13-0, 14-0, I don't know if Russell Wilson's got the ability to beat anybody through the passing game. He can throw the ball. I'm not saying that he can't throw the ball. And Marshawn Lynch, certainly beast mode. But if they have to abandon the run and try to pick up yardage through the passing game, I don't know if they want to get into that kind of game with Denver.
So Seattle Seahawks, you know, and a lot of people have said this, this has become more about the Denver Broncos than it has about the Seattle Seahawks. We look at the Seattle Seahawks who in, at least in recent memory, have not been to the Super Bowl. They've got a lot of talent. They have been underneath the radar the entire year to get to where they're at. I don't think anybody that follows the NFL is surprised at all at the matchup that we have in the Super Bowl. But because of Peyton Manning, obviously, because of number 18 and because of what a great quarterback he is, the Denver Broncos have become the love child of the NFL Super Bowl 2014. So maybe the Seattle Seahawks don't really care. They're the 12th man. They've got everything going for them. But how does the Seattle Seahawks focus on who they are? And who are, can you tell us who are the Seattle Seahawks?
The Seattle Seahawks are a throwback team. The Seattle Seahawks want to line up, punch you in the mouth as many times as they possibly can in every single position. Not just their linebackers, not just their defensive line, but their corners too. Everyone on the defensive side of the ball for Seattle thinks they're better than you are, and everyone on the defensive side of Seattle wants to make it physical, and they want to pop you right in the mouth. That's their bread and butter. If you had to compare them to a recent team of recent memory that won a Super Bowl, I go back to maybe that Ravens team of 2000, the first Ray Lewis championship squad. I think Seattle may be a little bit better offensively. I'll take Russell Wilson over Trent Dilfer, but that's the MO of Seattle. And I don't honestly think, you know, having their name not in the spotlight this week has been a bad thing. Peyton Manning handle all the pressure. Let Peyton Manning handle the spotlight. We've seen in the past a lot of times when Peyton's had the spotlight, he hasn't really won a whole lot of playoff games, and we can attest to that here in Indianapolis. So if you're Seattle, I think you're right where you want to be. You don't want to be the main story. Put all the pressure on Peyton's shoulders. I mean, let's be honest. All week long we've heard, well, either Peyton Manning wins this and he's the greatest quarterback ever, or he loses it and he's going to go down as being kind of like the Atlanta Braves, one of the great choke artists that have had great teams that only won one championship. So all the pressure in the world is squarely on number 18. I think he's okay with that. I think he kind of wants that. But if you're a Seattle fan, you know, let it ride. Don't wake up the sleeping giant. Enjoy where you're at and just do what you do.
Well, absolutely. And I tell you what, you think about, you know, Super Bowls gone past. You know, one of the Super Bowls, if you want to put it in comparison as far as, hey, you got a David and Goliath type scenario – Maybe if you think back when the Patriots and the Rams met. This year, I think, you know, you've got number 18, Peyton Manning, on the Broncos. But there's a superhero. Well, there's a lot of superheroes on the Seahawks, but one, Marshawn Lynch particularly. Does he get a ring this year? And I tell you what, can he control the clock, what he does so well?
He can. I mean, we've seen Denver's defense be certainly capable of giving up big chunks of yardage at a time. Their defense is not the reason why they're at where they're at right now. And again, that's why I'm so concerned with what's going to happen in the first 10 minutes. If Denver wins the coin toss and they get a touchdown early, they get on the board early, you know, it's up to Seattle to keep that ground game going, keep the clock running, keep Peyton off the field. If Seattle wins the coin toss, they can dictate, you know, the way the game's going to be played by taking the ball first. But it's going to be very tricky to me. Seattle cannot win this game if Peyton Manning is on the field an awful lot. So I think Marshawn Lynch may be the best running back in the league this past year. Adrian Peterson battled injuries. LeSean McCoy was a beast as well. But Marshawn Lynch is just a man's man. The media doesn't like him. He doesn't like to talk a whole lot. But if you need third and one, if you need third and two, who would you rather have carrying the ball right now? Anybody in the NFL. You can give me Marshawn Lynch. So to me, I'm so stoked to see the first quarter of this game to see who can settle down first, who's going to give up a big play, because I, again, think that goes a long way of deciding who wins this baby.
Well, you said it perfectly, and I think experience is what is in the favor of the Broncos. Who leads a team better? Who's a better captain? Who's a better guy to wear the big C on their jersey than Peyton Manning? If anybody can calm a team down and help them relax, it's Peyton Manning. And as good of a defense as the Seattle Seahawks are, and they can win at home any day of the week, but they are in New Jersey, and they are against a very, very, very good captain who can control his team, and not only control his team, control the fans.
Exactly. And the one thing to throw in here with Peyton Manning is this is a guy with a huge, huge chip on his shoulder. It has nothing to do with the whole Colts-Broncos thing, but after the Colts lost to the Saints in the 2009 Super Bowl, Peyton Manning took that incredibly hard. Anybody that's covered Peyton or knows Peyton knows that it took him a long time to get over that. And when the Giants made the Super Bowl in Indianapolis, Peyton was speaking with Eli about how hard it is to lose a Super Bowl and to take full advantage of it. You know, Peyton had won a Super Bowl, but then when he had lost it, never got over that loss to the Saints. And that bothers him more than anybody's ever let on, more than he'll tell the media. But those that know number 18 know that loss crushed him, especially the way that it went down with his pick coming late in the game. So this is his chance. This is his Groundhog Day. This is his chance to do it all over again, silence a lot of critics, and I think he's going to take this opportunity very seriously. Not often does a situation arise where Peyton Manning hasn't seen before or could get caught up in the moment with. I think this is one of those moments that he's been waiting for, and let's see how number 18 responds.
Well, absolutely. I think everybody will agree Peyton Manning will deliver one of his probably the signature game of his career. And like you said, he's got a lot to prove, a lot going on. Let me ask you this, and I know we got you for a very limited time today, but let me ask you this. Peyton Manning, win or lose, is he done or does he have a few more years left in him?
I think it looks like he's got a few years left in him, but the doctors are going to be the one that ultimately decides that. He's got a very important meeting with his doctor coming up, I believe in early March, and they're going to take a look at the neck, they're going to take a look at the nerves, and his doctor is going to be the one that dictates, okay, it's time to call it a career, or, you know, you can keep going. From everything we've gathered from Peyton Manning, this is a guy that still wants to keep playing. And it's not like a Brett Favre thing where he needs the media. He needs to be loved. Peyton Manning loves football. I mean, in life, every once in a while, you'll see people who are passionate about what they do, whether it's a lawyer, whether it's a doctor, whether it's broadcasting. Peyton Manning loves the game of football. He loves practice. He loves watching film. He loves talking about it. He loves being with the guys in the locker room. The game on Sunday is almost just the cherry on top of the sundae for him. He loves everything about the game of football, and there's no reason why he's not ready to keep playing two or three more years, but he's got a pretty big doctor's appointment coming up in March.
And he's also said that, of course, this could all be for the media, but he's also said he's not going to argue with whatever said. And a lot of people would say, well, he's Peyton Manning. He can get a doctor to say anything. Well, as we saw in the racing world with Dario Franchitti, when the doctor said, you're not getting back in that race car, he stepped down and said, you know what? You're right. I lost a good friend, Dan Weldon. So there comes a time when family, I mean, you could only make so much money. And everybody would say that Peyton Manning is a first baller. So, you know, either way it goes, I mean, I think every fan out there wants to see Peyton Manning keep playing. I mean, but at the same time, I don't see us, at least I don't see that with Peyton Manning, that we have another Brett Favre issue. When he's done, he's done. And I'm very interested to see which way that'll go. He's a fierce competitor. He is one of the best ever to play the game. So I don't know that he's really ever going to just say, hey, that's enough for me. But I do believe that if the doctor says, hey, Peyton, you have had a great career, it is that time. Well,
agreed. And that decision will be a lot easier if he gets a ring here too.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, of course, if Peyton Manning retires, he's not walking away from football. Everybody knows he's going to be involved. A lot of people still speculate that he's going to be involved heavily in the front office with the Indianapolis Colts. He's going to go in the Super Bowl in the Hall of Fame as an Indianapolis Colt. I think he still has a lot of heart and love for Indianapolis, despite of the way that the divorce happened, despite of the fact that it was a nasty divorce. I think they've been able to still remain friends, if you will. Pete Carroll and the Fox, who's the better coach?
Tough call. I'm going to lean Pete Carroll on this because it seems like he gets more out of less. I think you can put a lot of head coaches in this position with Peyton Manning as their quarterback. Pete Carroll's a guy that came out of a tougher NFC and out-muscled teams that tried to do the exact same thing. You know, San Francisco and Seattle are basically clones. Pete Carroll out-muscled them, got to give the advantage to Pete. But I think of all the Super Bowls, this is the one where the coaches have the least amount of pull. This is a player's game. It's Peyton Manning on one side. It's Richard Sherman, Marshawn Lynch on the other side. And I think the coaches are along for the ride.
Who gets the MVP this year, Peyton Manning, Marshawn Lynch, or somebody else?
Peyton Manning, number 18, without a question. It's one of the easier decisions, I think, this season, and he deserves it. I mean, say what you want. I mean, when you set a passing touchdown record, you have the number one seed, and you go to the Super Bowl, how do you not give that guy the MVP?
As a Colt fan, seeing Peyton Manning, number 18, in a Super Bowl in another jersey, is it like seeing your girlfriend with a new man?
It is. And it's tough in Indianapolis because right now there's a large faction of people that are still Peyton and they're still jumping on the Denver bandwagon and they'll never get over the breakup and they haven't moved on, which on one hand to me is incredibly disrespectful to Andrew Luck. You know, here's a kid that came in, done everything right, rescued
Absolutely.
A franchise after
Absolutely.
Two wins and went to the postseason. And number two, a lot of newer Colt fans forget about what the Broncos and John Elway did to this franchise back in 1983 that set everything backwards about 15 years. So, you know, for all these folks going out buying Bronco hats, Bronco jerseys, let's not forget that John Elway was the reason this team was just absolutely rancid from 1983 through 1993, give or take a couple seasons.
So do you think Jim Irsay absolutely made, now looking back, of course, there was we were having a completely different discussion when this happened, but do you think Jim Irsay absolutely did the right thing by saying, hey, Peyton, love you, but I got to move on?
Absolutely, without question. And the people that are still pro-Peyton don't understand, and without trying to sound like I know more than you do, but with Peyton Manning coming back to the Colts, the salary he was due would have meant a couple things. Number one, Reggie Wayne would have been gone. Number two, Robert Mathis would have been gone. The salary cap hit it would have taken to keep Peyton Manning in Indianapolis would have meant that team would have been stripped down to the bare bones. Jeff Saturday may have had one more year, probably retires. Dallas Clark, injuries happen. He may have come back, but would he really been a factor? Without, you know, Peyton Manning coming back, you know, this team now has a chance to be good for 10, 15 years. And let's be honest, that guy at quarterback right now for the Indianapolis Colts isn't that bad at all, number 12. He won a a playoff game in his second year with the Indianapolis Colts, something Peyton didn't do for a while, and they both inherited the same type of situation. Peyton's team may have been a little worse when he came to the Colts in 1998, but it was pretty bad when Andrew Luck got here right out of the Curtis Painter season. So I think it's disrespectful to Andrew Luck to sit here and say, wow, we should have done this, we should have kept Peyton. And for all these people that say, oh, no, I can't believe 18's not around anymore, had 18 been here, this team would have been 8-8, 9-7, sneaking into the playoffs, maybe won the division this year. I mean, you've always got a shot with him as your quarterback, but it's not like the teams that we remember from the the early 2000s. I mean, Reggie Wayne free agency would probably be in New England. Robert Mathis would probably be somewhere in Baltimore or somewhere else right now. Those guys would have been gone because the salary cap was too big for Peyton. Hello?
Are you there, Jason? Go ahead. Are you there?
Can you hear me, Jason?
I apologize. I said, we're talking with Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel Show, 93.1 WIBC as well. We're going to be getting into some soccer talk here in just a moment with Sean Horton, and we're going to be talking some Indy 11. Real quickly, because I know that your backyard's Indianapolis as well, what are your thoughts about the Indy 11?
Real quick here, as I'm getting ready to step on out and hit the frozen road here, you know what? Anything that can come into Indy and make some money, I'm in favor of. Whether it's soccer, whether it's a Gen Con convention, if you have a team of pantomimes that can come into town and sell tickets and make money for the city, Godspeed.
Well, absolutely. And of course, there's a lot of talk about building a stadium. Another conversation another day. Jason Hammer, buddy, where can people find your work, your masterpieces, or just run away from you?
You can catch me at MS Communications, 93.1 WIBC. Also, if you want to follow me directly, you can go to the Hammer and Nigel Show, hammerandnigel.com, Facebook and Twitter, at Hammer and Nigel.
All right, buddy, as usual, it's always an honor to have you on. We look forward to the next time. You have yourself a good and safe Super Bowl weekend.
You too. Thank you.
All right. Jason Hammer of Hammer and Nigel Show. Good friend of the show, and I love having Hammer on. He's a good friend of mine, and really breaking down the Super Bowl, giving us an insight, really, to the mind, maybe, of Peyton Manning, and certainly someone that's been here in the local media for a good number of years. Guys, we'll be right back. Sean Horton's in the green room, and Russell right around the corner here. Oh, Elizabeth the Greek has her picks right here. It's Super Bowl weekend, but we are going to take a break. We're going to be talking some soccer. The other football right here on The Balance. My name is Sal Marquez, El Presidente. We'll be right back.
Hi, my name is Elizabeth Greek. Stay tuned. Predictions.com right here on The Balance online with the whole...
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Ladies and gentlemen,
something new, something revolutionary.
Football, the sport of kings.
Super Bowl, please, and step on it.
It's time for...
Let's do it.
So let's go green!
Okay, Elizabeth, last one of the year. It's a quick one. We're going to throw something new into it, though.
What, Daddy? What is it?
We're going to have you also pick the MVP. So let's get to it. Two teams, Super Bowl 48. Who do you go with, the Seattle Seahawks or the Denver Broncos?
Denver Broncos.
The Denver Broncos. Okay, and the new thing we're going to add, who do you think is going to be the MVP for Super Bowl 48? Are you going to go with wide receiver Demetrius Thomas? Is it defensive end Sean Phillips? Wide receiver Golden Tate? Cornerback Richard Sherman? Or quarterback Peyton Manning?
Quarterback Peyton Manning.
Peyton Manning is going to be the MVP of Super Bowl 48. And yes. Who picked those?
Me. Make sure you like me on Facebook, facebook.com/ElizabethTheGreek. And I want to thank all my fans who will listen to this year, and I'll be back next year.
Soccer is the world's game.
And it has deep roots in Indiana.
It lives in our backyard.
In our rec league.
En nuestras escuelas.
Indy 11 is here.
And make no mistake, this is Indiana's team.
It was built from the ground up.
Brick by brick by soccer fans.
When we take the field next April, we'll be playing for you.
For me. Para mí.
For us.
This is my team.
Este es mi equipo.
This is our team.
This is your team.
It's time.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm going to be there.
Voy a estar ahí. I'll be there.
This isn't just any soccer team. This is Indiana's team, and that includes you.
So you're not good at sports. It's a very small part of life.
Sports, 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 sports. March, Bart rides up in the front seat today because he's a good guy at sports.
Con los terroristas.
All right, my minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Saul Marquezel, Presidente. Elizabeth the Greek giving us her final pick of the year. And we're going to miss her, and of course, we'll have her back again next year with all of the picks. And we'll run her again tomorrow in our Super Bowl special. But joining us now is a very special guy in his own right, a guy who grew up in the hard ways. I don't know. Mr. Sean Horton. I tell you what, our new and official part of the Balance family, our new little stepbrother, if you will, Sean Horton, is going to help us really break down soccer as we go through, and a brand new soccer team in Indianapolis, the Indy 11, and our guy who's going to be talking soccer with us a lot, especially as we get into spring and Indy 11 really gets into it, and we're going to be having him covering some games out there for us and giving us some feedback. But Mr. Sean Horton, how is you doing on Super Bowl weekend?
Man, I am doing dynamite. I couldn't be happier. A little bit excited, I will say. I'm going to take a few minutes from soccer to, get down on some of that other football there. It is just quite exciting, but not to say this has not been a past quite exciting bit of things going on as far as the soccer world is concerned, Tom, so we can't discredit that.
Absolutely. I mean, I tell you what, there's two footballs going on right now, and Sean, I am really excited about what you're going to be able to bring to the Balance and as far as the soccer world, and I we're colleagues, and I know how much you love soccer, and I thought, man, you are the perfect fit for us, and I know you're going to be really covering the Indy 11 a lot. So let's talk about the Indy 11, and let's do an introduction. Of course, those of us that live here in Indianapolis know what the Indy 11 is. Of course, we're all over the state of Indiana right now on Indiana Talks. And we appreciate them listening to us. Of course, you're listening to us on a tape delay broadcast between the hours of 1 and 3 this afternoon. But we are so glad that you're with us. And maybe Indy 11 is something bigger on a bigger national scale. But regionally, Indy 11 is a pretty big thing happening to the city of Indianapolis. And as we just heard Jason Hammer say, it's great that Indy 11 is here. It's going to bring some dollars in. And what a lot of people don't realize, and I am honestly learning as I go on this, soccer is pretty, pretty big in Indianapolis. And in a lot of ways, Indianapolis proves itself to be a major sports city, and soccer is a perfect fit. So talk with us about what the Indy 11 is, who they are, and what they're about.
Well, you know, the long and the short of Indy 11 is our late grade soccer team getting ready to kick off here in April. I'm definitely representing, Indianapolis as far as the mid-tier is concerned. Not quite the MLS yet, but I think that's exactly what we're gunning for here shortly. This is a great representation to really fit the mold as far as us being a full sports town. This is just the way to seal the deal. Didn't know if you knew this or not, but soccer as it stands right now is taking on number four viewership in the country, surpassing both the NHL and the NBA as far as viewership is concerned. So big things on the rise just in that as far as Indianapolis.
Well, I tell you what, Indy 11 is really doing a lot of marketing, a lot of promotions. They're really, you know, bringing up a lot of fans that I think are going to really enjoy watching. You know, players like Walter Ramirez, and really beginning to learn a lot of their players. But let me ask you this. As a fan and also as a taxpayer in the city of Indianapolis, the team is asking the city to help them build a stadium, and they're going to ask for some tax dollars. You know, and we just recently saw where Indianapolis Motor Speedway was awarded some tax dollars to do some renovations and a lot of money out there. And, of course, we know how much money has been contributed to the Pacers and how much money has been contributed to the Colts. But those are things that have proven themselves to the taxpayer community. There's a couple things that I'm worried about here. Is the Indy 11 team premature and saying, hey, we've sold all these preseason tickets, we deserve a stadium? Or is this all hype? Is it all marketing? Or do we really, really have a golden nugget with the Indy 11?
You know, I absolutely believe we have a golden nugget with the Indy 11. And in no way, shape, or form would it be being too giddy or too excited as far as having stadium talks. We all know how long it takes a project of that nature to actually come to term. So hit the ground running while striking while the iron's hot, I most certainly believe is the absolute way to go. You know, and on top of that, not only is this going to be used for a soccer venue, but there's definitely going to be opportunities for concerts as well as other forms of entertainment taking place there. So it would not just be strictly dedicated, but a more cost-effective means for other opportunities to come to Indianapolis.
Well, certainly, I believe that, you know, just like they've proven with Bankers Life and Lucas, it's certainly those big stadiums are revenue generators and more than just the sport that they're dedicated to. I guess my biggest concern is, you know, we saw an attempt to bring Major League Soccer to Indianapolis, you know, 5 or 10 years ago. I don't exactly remember, but I do know that it kind of fizzled out. How does the Indy 11 present itself to say, hey, that's not going to happen with us? We are just as big as the Indianapolis Colts, the Pacers, the Indianapolis 500. We are just that big, and we are going to be around, you know, the Indianapolis Indians, and we are that big. We are going to be around for generations to come. How do they make that case to the city and the state of Indiana?
Well, I think just by the sheer statistics of what I just said, Tom, soccer is the up-and-coming, you know, sport to be had across the United States. You know, you can make references to when franchises started in New York and L.A., where owners were paying $5 million to franchise, whereas now you're talking hundreds of millions of dollars to franchise an MLS team. I would not go so far as to say we're putting Indy 11 on the same playing field as the Colts and the Pacers. I would most certainly put them more in line with the type of Indians and the fanfare that go on in this community, with the idea that we're going to move into the playing field where your New York Red Bulls and, you know, your LA Galaxies. I think we tried to bite off a little more than we could chew, you know, years back as far as starting the MLS. I mean, let's face it, we've come a long way. From then to where we are now, and starting with, we'll say, just a more of a minor league team is the way to get the ground running. You know, we're talking an 18,000-person stadium versus what is it called, Tom? 80,000, 90,000 people?
Right.
Is it that big, you know? So we're kind of talking two different, you know, levels of playing here.
Well, I'll tell you what, one thing for sure is the balance, and our team here is behind the Indy 11. We're excited to have them here, and that's going to be your function with the balance, and you're going to be our official reporter with the balance, and you're going to be out there at the games, and you're going to really be helping us help Indy 11 grow and prove exactly what you're saying. Indy 11 is going to be a part of the NASL. Talk with me about that.
Yep.
We talked about the NFL Combine that comes to Indianapolis every year. Obviously, the NASL Combine starts on Friday out in Irvine. Talk with me a little bit about what the NASL is and what is the Indy 11 looking for at that Combine?
Well, so the NASL, I'd say, would be your feeder teams, for lack of better terms. In the same way, I believe the Indians would be for the Pirates. This is a great way, again, to have the presence starting in the community, and then have the idea to build up to at this point in time. Now, the way that the baseball works, it's not exactly the same as players won't necessarily be poached or moved unless there would be some kind of exchange, but. As a whole, that would be the way I would best characterize it. As far as the Combine, we're looking to fill our roster with the signing of Ramirez. That was we have a solid 11 signed players. So really we need to add about 12 to 15 more, to have a full roster and be able to, have backup for the team. So I think we're looking for everything across the board at this point in time.
So what does the Indy 11 have to do to have an elite roster this year? Or in their inaugural year, I should say.
Well, I think they're doing that. Again, being strategic in, the people that they're signing automatically. I mean, Ramirez, a tried and true player. I believe he came out of San Antonio. It's strategy. We have our set solid team of starters, and now it's time to find maybe some less experienced, but people that we will see improve as we look to train and, get more involved come April.
Well, I'm excited, and I'm excited to have you on board with us.
Oh, yeah.
Heck yeah. I'm really excited to have you. And I tell you what, when you get down there and you start doing interviews and you start really getting to know the team us getting to know them, I think that it's just going to be a great thing for the city of Indianapolis and the state of Indiana. Well, let's talk about the bigger picture of soccer. And I could be wrong about this, but I think you're a Man City fan and they take over the top spot. What are your thoughts on that?
Oh,
was I wrong?
No,
I am so sorry.
We're not friends anymore, Tom. Are you kidding me right now?
I am so sorry. I honestly thought you were a Man City fan. My fault. My bad.
I would, and this is me personally, and you can get this from a lot of people, and people can hate me if they want, but Man City would be what I would call your kind of Yankees. You either love them or you absolutely hate them. I absolutely hate them, Tom. And that's probably about the only team that I would sit and say that I absolutely detest. So, there's a part of me that I don't know if I'm going to recover by come Monday here on that one. But,
Go ahead. Go ahead. Go ahead. No, I was
just gonna,
I was just going to say I didn't do that on purpose, although your reaction was completely funny. You know how you like try to poke and prod at the Bears? You know what gets them? Now I know what gets you. So I got that in my back pocket here. Go ahead, buddy.
I am a Chelsea fan, so we are currently number three. We unfortunately took a draw on Wednesday to overcome Arsenal in that second-tier spot there. But, I bleed blue. So for the Blues fans out there in Indy, dude, I hear you on this one. I'll make sure to take care of Tom. But, as far as the EPL, something different that just wrapped up. A lot of good things go on this time of year. So we have the January transfer window. Are you familiar with that, Tom?
I'm not. You're educating me. Go, sir.
Okay. So, what's a little bit different than most other sports is that soccer has different intervals where you are able to transfer, make deals, and do swapping amongst players and amongst teams. So for the month of January, there's been a lot of shopping around and transferring going on, which, wrapped up here last Friday. So for those of you, that get to watch soccer, see this, players that you would see on one team and for strategic purposes end up getting move to other teams throughout the year. So it's a little bit different dynamic than I'd say most sports where you have to have you know, that solid, you know, team framework where everybody's, you know, living and breathing together in order to have that complete dynamic. So, you know, something a little bit different and, you know, kind of interesting that the soccer players and the level that they play at are able to make smooth transitions to other teams midseason.
Well, and that's an interesting thing that you bring up about the transfer day. Obviously, the deadline is really coming down for the marquee players. How much control does the players themselves have over their transfer?
To be quite honest with you, they have a minimal say, really, in a transfer. You want to think of players and all this really as pawns, I guess, as far as the owners and the clubs are concerned. You put up the right amount of money, and team's willing to sell you, then, you know, then so be it. You're talking transfer fees. This is not paying to the players, but clubs receiving and taking $30, $40, $50 million per player for different certain moves. So, you know, it's a lot of big business behind the scenes on that one.
So really what you could say is that would be like the Broncos saying, okay, Peyton Manning's going to retire. Indianapolis Colts, we're going to offer you $100 million for Andrew Luck. And they make that transaction, and really there's not – and we see trades happening, obviously, with trades happening at the NFL and the NBA, and they have to pay off the contract. I guess there's that going on. But really, what you're saying is if that was to happen, then if that rule was in place with the NFL, that could happen is what you're saying.
Yes.
Because I tell you what, one of the biggest news out of this whole transfer thing that's going on right now, and I think it's really causing a little bit of a stir, is Hotspur has agreed to send 23-year-old midfielder Lewis Holtby to fellow Premier League club Fulham, and that's according to the BBC.
Mm-hmm.
So,
yep.
That's causing a lot of stir. When you see things like that happen, okay, you're a Chelsea fan. Let's say that Man City says, hey, we want this guy from Chelsea, and you, being a Chelsea fan, say, whoa! What are your thoughts on that? What as a fan, what are your thoughts of transfer day?
You know, there's a good, a bad, and the ugly because, you know, it comes down to who's got deeper pockets. So it is a bit frustrating on some ends. You know, regardless of, you know, the money factor, there is strategy. You know, for instance, you're talking Chelsea. We actually just sold Juan Mata to Manchester United. So that, you know, broke my heart a little bit. He just did not fit in, you know, the dynamic of the team, wasn't getting the time or, you know, producing the way he needed to. And, you know, Manchester United decided, hey, they'll fit right in the puzzle. So it is difficult, but it's something as you watch more and more you begin to accept. I will say that, you know, more of your stars it's not so common to see the big players that, you know, people, you know, sit and show up to the games for and watch them disappear. You know, there isn't trading between Cristiano Ronaldo and Messi. Obviously, those guys, types of people stay put. And, you know, Chelsea right now is actually interested in Wayne Rooney, but it's been pretty clear that Man U is not about to give him up for any amount of money. So, you know, those types of things that I want to say are deeper. So if you were to think of, like, the Peyton Manning, you know, type situation, that doesn't happen as often as just players that, you know, we need to fill a spot, we need to get stronger deal, you know, going on.
So really it's just a trade, just kind of called a different situation. I think a lot of the top premier clubs really kind of steered cleared of doing a lot of transfers, but it looked like Fulham, Cardiff, and Crystal Palace are really some of your busiest clubs. What are your thoughts when you see those transactions going on between those three teams?
Well, the biggest thing with them is they are – up-and-comers. Crystal Palace, I'd have to reference that. It's hard to keep track of everybody. But those specifically, they're up-and-comers. They are looking to gain themselves, you know, a position and maintain a position in the British Premier League. What happens every season is the bottom three clubs in the league get relegated. What that ends up meaning is they're basically kicked out of the professional league and go back to being more or less minor league team. And the three top teams in the minor league segmentation then get transferred up into the EPL. So all of these teams have a lot going on because they have a lot riding on being able to, you know, surpass that relegation and be able to stay within the Premier League itself.
So let me ask you this, talking about your team, Chelsea, and your arch nemesis, Man City. they've got a pretty big battle coming up here. And I know Man City is out to make Chelsea their latest home victims. What are your thoughts on that matchup? And what are you looking for as a Chelsea fan? And what are you looking for? And how big is that to beat Manchester at home?
It is absolutely huge. I will tell you, like most teams, that Man City plays a tough home game. They, you know, are very, very strong in their stadium. I'm looking for Chelsea to really have a solid game. I think my biggest problem and frustration with Chelsea is that we have such a strong set of players that it's almost, you know, like when they decide they want to show up and when they don't. It's very, very frustrating to watch, you know, these level of athletes kind of almost pick and choose when they want to be here. I firmly believe that we could be number one at this point in time. As long as we come with our end game, I most certainly believe that we can give City a run for their money at home.
Well, we're excited to watch that, and certainly as a fan, and I know Sean Horton is going to be a key part of bringing soccer to the radio. And we're talking with Sean Horton, our new Sean F.C. Horton. Not only do we talk beer, guns, and racing, but we're going to throw in some football. We talk football and football. Good buddy of mine.
Absolutely.
Mr. Sean Horton is going to be our analysis for the balance, not only for the EPL, but significantly for the NASL coming up as we move forward into spring. Well, we got just a few minutes left here, Mr. Sean Horton. I'm going to give you the mic, break down whatever you want to do, rant about whatever you want to do, talk about the NASL, the EPL, Chelsea, Man City, what have you. Go, what say you, sir?
Well, I got a couple things. One thing that's real exciting and to really prove, you know, our commitment, you know, as for the Indy 11 and what they're looking to do and really prove themselves, they shipped out today actually to Arizona for a training camp, which I was really, really excited to find out that they're going to be playing against three of the top MLS teams, you know, in this training program. And to me, that just speaks, you know, very, very highly of what we're looking to do and how serious I think across the board that the players and, you know, the league are taking this stance in Indianapolis, making those strides and really getting us to the point where, you know, to your testament, you know, we deserve a stadium. Not only is this going to be fanfare, but this is going to be something that is going to be tried and true and dedication. So I'm really excited to see how that pans out. I believe you can get online or get on some of the social media networks to follow and see how those games pan out. I haven't seen anything as far as actually viewership is on the television at this point in time. And what's real cool, you know, we talk about how, you know, Indiana is soccer is, you know, big here in Indiana and hometown. They're going to be playing, excuse me, boy, I'm choking here, Tom, I apologize. They are going to be playing, let's see here, if I can remember off the top of my head who we're actually going to be playing. Well, you know what, that doesn't necessarily matter at this point in time because I'm losing
it here. Are you talking about the Arizona schedule?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I've done with that, but that's not that big a deal.
I've got that right here. Arizona preseason is February 5th against the Vancouver Whitecaps, February 7th against the Sporting Kansas, and February 12th against the Portland Timbers.
Yeah, and what I was going through is I couldn't remember the Timbers off to save my life was that their coach is actually a player from IU. You know, so that kind of wraps things up. I again, do not have the specifics on his name. I'll try and have better references for a different chat time next time. But, you know, I thought that was really neat when I was reading through and looking at these that, again, you know, Indiana just has its fingers, you know, in everything, and that was just a, you know, caveat to have, you know, an IU alum team that he's coaching to, you know, be playing and training and getting our Indy 11 up and running. So, you know, just wanted to kind of touch base on that a little bit as far as going out to Arizona.
Well, absolutely. And I'll tell you what, I'm really excited to see the Indy 11 and you be a part of it and as they continue to prepare for their first ever kickoff season. Of course, right now, they're going to be playing at IUPUI's Michael Carroll Stadium. And I think they're laying the groundwork. They're letting everybody know they're going to be here for a long time. And they're certainly, they've got that proposed 18,000-seat outdoor venue in downtown Indianapolis. Really, in my opinion, fills a void down there in downtown Indianapolis. So we're excited to see what if the Indy 11 gets what they want from the General Assembly. I know they're seeking help to be in the financial district, and I think they're requesting around $5 million of funds. But the thing about it, I guess, also is they are really wanting to partner with the Capital Improvement Board and so forth. So it's going to be – we're going to watch it. We're going to be there with you, and we're going to see what happens and how it all comes together. Mr. Sean Horton, our new family member, if you would. Yeah, our redheaded stepchild of the show. Beer, guns, and racing
love it.
Soccer. We love it. I'll tell you what, I'm excited to have you on board. And, of course, as we get moving forward, closer to the spring, we'll have you on more often. But we'll have you make a monthly appearance or so and help keep us updated on what's going on with the Indy 11, because that will be your official capacity. Well, on the other big game of the weekend, the Broncos, the Seahawks, Super Bowl weekend. Tomorrow we got our big Super Bowl special. What are your thoughts about this year's Super Bowl, Sean?
You know, I think it's going to be an intense game. I'm really excited. I think it's, always interesting to have, two huge, huge teams, playing against one another. I get the whole, Denver Peyton Manning thing and, that whole wrapping around, but I'm going to be honest, Tom, I'm going for Seattle.
We'll see what happens. Hey, Sean, I'm looking forward to talking with you, and again, Sean Horton, our new member of the Balance team, who's going to be covering the Indy 11, the new Indy soccer team, and I tell you what, I forgot what league they play in, but the developmental league of the Indy 11. Really excited to have them here in Indianapolis, but we got to get back to some Super Bowl talk. We got to get back to the other football, the American football, Mr. Sean Horton. We're looking forward to your tenure here at the Balance, sir.
Absolutely, Tom. I'm looking forward to it as well, buddy.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. You have yourself a safe
day. All right, man. Be cool.
All right, buddy. Sean Horton, our new guy in the field for the Indy 11, being here with the Balance, and we're glad to have him on board with us as part of the Balance team. Really, really excited for Sean. And I tell you what, he may not know football, but he knows football. Football. My name's Sean Mark with El Presidente. We'll be right back. We got 1 hour of Super Bowl talk, getting geared up for our big Super Bowl special tomorrow. We got Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles and Calkins Media. $2 Bill, Josh, and Axel all in the green room. We'll be right back.
Soccer is the world's game.
And it has deep roots in Indiana.
It lives in our backyard.
In our rec league.
En nuestras escuelas.
Indy 11 is here.
And make no mistake, this is Indiana's team.
It was built from the ground up.
Brick by brick by soccer fans.
When we take the field next April, we'll be playing for you.
For me. Para mí.
For us.
This is my team.
Este es mi equipo.
This is our team.
This is your team.
It's time.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm going to be there.
Voy a estar ahí. I'll be there.
This isn't just any soccer team. This is Indiana's team, and that includes you.
Every year in the cold throes of winter, furry soldiers meet on an AstroTurf battlefield to determine who is top dog. The world watches as distinguished athletes rise above the shadows. Plus, it's just really freaking cute. This is the Puppy Bowl, Game Day Revisited. On the heels of a successful Puppy Bowl 8, fans and dogs alike couldn't contain their excitement for number 9. The league moved to bring back elements that fans love, including extended tailgating hours, the hamster blend, and the thrilling kitty halftime show. With this year's edition of Hedgehog Cheerleaders, it was only a matter of time before the league assessed its first ever excessive cuteness penalty. Safety continues to be a league focus with more water breaks, and a biting a defenseless receiver rule were added to further protect puppy players. During negotiations last season, the powerful puppy union landed the cutest benefit of all, more in-game nap time. Sally, a Basset Dachshund mix, put the first points on the board with a pick six, marking the first time a defensive player scored in Puppy Bowl history. The opposing quarterback threw a wounded duck pass. Literally, it was a duck toy. And Sally snatched it right out of the air. Without hesitation, she ran as fast as her paws would take her to the end zone to give her team the early lead. As can be the case at Puppy Bowl, some of the most exciting plays didn't involve scoring or a ball, and weren't even really part of the game. But who can forget the acrobatic performance displayed by Arlo and Coda during their scrum in the fourth quarter? The melee proved irresistible to Juniper, who couldn't wait to join the action. Before you know it, we had an impromptu cute cam moment. Some viewers suspect that certain puppy players were just canoodling up to the camera. But anybody who knows this trio of troublemakers knows when they're out on the field, their focus is solely on the game. Started as a casual pastime, Puppy Bowl has become a renowned sports phenomenon. Legends rise and fall on this acclaimed astroturf of hope and dreams. The plays will be recounted and retold through generations of puppies who have followed the game since their eyes first opened. No one can predict what lies ahead for the Puppy Bowl, but it's certain we'll all be watching.
Here we go.
Blue 20! Blue 20!
Football, catch the fever. The sport of kings.
And now let's talk some football.
Welcome back to the final hour. Wow, we had some fun today so far. Jason Hammer of the Hammer and Nigel Show and also of 93 WIBC talking with us about Super Bowl, whatever number that is. I don't even know where we're at with it. What is up with Roman numerals in the Super Bowl? Can't we just use real numbers? For God's sake, can we not just use real numbers? And, of course, we got the big Puppy Bowl tomorrow, as you heard the big promo going on there. You got to watch the – you got the commercials. You got the food. And you got the Puppy Bowl. But I tell you what, our Super Bowl coverage is just beginning as we're getting geared up for our annual Super Bowl special tomorrow right here on the Balance Network. And myself and for sure $2 Bill Josh. And we've got some other people lined up. And we're going to be talking everything Super Bowl tomorrow. 2 hours of nothing but Seahawks, Broncos, Peyton Manning, Marshawn Lynch. Who's the better team? Who's not the better team? So to get us geared up right now, we have three of the best in the industry. Ed Kratz, Calkins Media, beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. Axel, as we know very, very well, a.k.a. Chad, a.k.a. Axel, fantasy football expert, and my partner in crime, Mr. $2 Bill Josh. We'll start with you, Ed. Are you with us, sir?
Yes, sir, I am. Tom, thanks for having me.
Man, I tell you what, it doesn't matter what team you go for, there's something special about Super Bowl weekend. Super Bowl 48. Let me ask you this, Ed, because you are the man of the hour. You are the guy that can craft and make history happen. Can we get rid of the dang Roman numerals? Here I am trying to type things, trying to blog things. I mean, what number are we at? How do I do this? Where are we at? I mean, I get it. It wouldn't look right by just saying Super Bowl 48. Kind of blah. It makes it kind of boring. But I'll tell you what, I have a hard time with the metric system and Roman numerals. So at some point, it's just a Super Bowl.
Yeah, right. I mean, that would have been a great question to ask Roger Goodell at his State of the NFL yesterday in New York when he took the stage late morning yesterday. And, you know, these press conferences that he has 48 hours before the game seem to get shorter and shorter. But That would have been a good question to ask him is, you know, why do you Roman numerals? Why don't we get away from this? Because sooner or later, you're going to start getting into letters. You know, right now we're in a lot of X's and, you know, there's little slashes. And, but sooner or later, we're going to get into, like, L's and, you know, XL's for extra large. And, you know, it's just going to become really strange to figure out how many Super Bowls have been played. So
it's
I think sooner or later it's got to come around. I would think sooner or later.
The madness has got to stop. And now the Puppy Bowl's doing it, for God's sake. $2 bill, Josh. How are you doing, buddy? Are you with us?
I'm doing great. Good morning, Tom. Good morning, Axel. Good morning, Ed.
Axel,
morning.
Are you with us, Mr. Axel?
Yes, I am.
Hey, buddy. I am so glad to have you. You are. Axel is our man, I tell you what, our go-to guy. If I ever, you know, on a show, a game show or something where I need a lifeline, not that they have that show anymore, but if I ever am, Axel is my go-to guy. Because, you know what, he is so top secret, we only call him Axel. I mean, I'll give you his first name, and that's Chad. But Axel knows everything, and he is going to actually give you some stats you probably never thought of. And all I'm saying is when you make your picks and when you sit back and you say, hey, I'm going for the Broncos, am I going for the Seahawks, who's the better team, and here's why, Axel's the guy that can do it. Guys, well, let's get into this conversation. We got us a big game. We're going to go around, do our roundtable conversation here, and we're just going to start. Great team. And we'll start with you, Ed. You've got the best defense against the best offense, really – a premier marquee matchup in East Rutherford, New Jersey, by the way. Not New York, New Jersey. you look at the two teams, I mean, really, just a match that I think this is going to be one of the best Super Bowls ever. That's just my opinion, probably because Peyton Manning's in it, but that's neither here nor there. Ed, what say you on Super Bowl 48?
I absolutely think it has the makings of a really good Super Bowl. Just, you know, given the defense that the Seahawks play, you know, their strength is the secondary, of course, and the strength of the Broncos is their offense. So you have the classic offense versus defense matchup. And, you know, what are we taught from when we're, you know, 5 years old is that defense wins championships, right? And so you would think the Seahawks would be favored, but, you know, that doesn't seem to be the case. I mean, the Broncos' offense is just so prolific and can do so many things and hurt you in so many ways that you just can't discount them. And, you know, the league has become more offensive-minded, obviously, over these last, you know, over the last several years anyway. So, you know, I just think it has the ability to be a classic Super Bowl matchup. You're right. And, you know, we've had some good ones in recent years. You know, remember back century started how we kept talking about all the Super Bowl blowouts. You know, there wasn't a competitive Super Bowl, but now we've had a nice little string of them, and I expect tomorrow will be, or rather Sunday, I expect will be more of the same. So, you know, I just think that we're going to see a pretty good game. I hope we see a good game.
Oh, I agree with you. I could agree with you more. Absolutely. Going to be a good game. Super Bowl 48, $2 bill. Josh, what are your thoughts?
Well, I'm going to go ahead and get this out of the way. I've been called Peyton Manning hater all week. Y'all could call me a Peyton Manning hater. But at the end of tomorrow, Ed, I'm going to
Sorry, Josh, your mic dropped. No, go ahead. I'm just kidding with you. Go ahead.
And sorry, after tomorrow's game, and Ed, I'm going to disagree with you, after Seattle routes Denver, absolutely blows Denver out tomorrow, y'all can come back on over. Come back over to the wagon with me. The Peyton Manning's just, quite honestly, mediocre in the playoffs. He's barely better than Rex Grossman in the playoffs.
Josh, I think you've fallen off the wagon. $2 bill, Josh. I'm just kidding. Axel, what say you, Super Bowl 48?
Well, I think it's a great matchup, and it actually is good that the Broncos are not favored by 14 like the Rams were over the Patriots in their Dynasty Super Bowl, and the Patriots versus the Giants in their Eli Manning first meeting with Tom Brady. So actually they have kept it in perspective, giving respect to the Seahawks defense, so as rightfully so. And having said that, everybody is overlooking the Denver Broncos defense. So be it. And nobody is giving any credit to the fact how well they played versus the Chargers and the Patriots, both teams that beat them. And so basically let that disrespect continue. And I think the X factor is going to be the Broncos defense, not the Broncos offense or the Seahawks defense. And that's what I think is going to win the Broncos the game, the Broncos defense, when it's all said and done.
Well, certainly that is one of the big storylines. Peyton Manning, you know, in the Denver Broncos, and we remember another Peyton Manning that led the Indianapolis Colts in the Super Bowl against New Orleans. And you know, I'm really a lot of anticipation of this game has been around the weather, Ed. And you are from an outdoor stadium, an outdoor venue. And let's just get this out. Let's vent about this. For God's sake, the NFL chose a winter city to have a Super Bowl outdoors. So why are we having weather contingencies? Why are we maybe moving the game to a different day? Maybe they are, maybe they're not. At this point, it looks like it is going to go on as planned. But to me, if you had an issue with an outdoor stadium in the winter, why make the Super Bowl at an out? I get it. I mean, as a football fan, we love watching the players play outdoors. But I mean, why? I guess is my. I'm just going to use capital caps here. Why is the NFL worried about the weather?
Well, I think first of all, it has to do just with logistics, getting people to and from the stadium. Should you know a blizzard roll in or. You know, a significant snowfall anyway. And then, you know, you have the issue of clearing the stadium out of snow, it, not just the field. You can cover the field and, you know, the field will be fine. But, you know, you have the seats that you have to worry about and where are the people going to sit. And I think we all saw scenes earlier this week when we had the big snowstorm last week of Giant Stadium being cleared of snow, just massive amounts of snow out of the seating area. So I can understand why they would have a contingency plan in place. Just in case something like that occurs. But I think it would almost have to be an Armageddon type of situation for them to, you know, move the game off of the 6:30 start time Sunday night. And, you know, I know Roger Goodell talked about that on Friday or Thursday, that the game could be moved up had there been snow predicted for later in the evening, or the game could have been moved back, you know, if the snow was coming during the, you know, the morning hours. So there were all sorts of things in place. And, you know, you almost need that, but to come into a cold weather city, you have to expect that. And I think why they're doing it, obviously, is to just give, you know, first of all, New York's the largest metropolitan city in the country, and they're giving them a chance to have the first cold weather Super Bowl, so to speak, and see if they can pull it off, and you know, just to give you know other sections of the country and other people a chance to experience the Super Bowl and all that leads up to the Super Bowl, you know. You forget that the Super Bowl is more than just a game. It's a week long of, you know, parades and activity and
sure.
All sorts of fun and parties. And, you know, so they want to kind of see how it goes and see if they can open up that Super Bowl market to other teams should it go well. But, you know, it's clearly they need some kind of contingency plan in place in case Armageddon did happen. It's not going to happen. Temperatures will be in the 40s and everything's going to be just fine.
Oh, I think you're right. But I think that there's nobody, and you asked, I think I forget. There was a Super Bowl here in Indianapolis, and it was a party. So I get it. I get it, and I'm all for it. And you know what? And Chad and Axel and I went down downtown together during Super Bowl Village at the zip lining and all kinds of stuff. I saw the big mammoth snow slide they've got down there in New York City. But I don't know, guys. I think that our zip line trumps that at any time. And I know Chad and I had a great time Super Bowl Village. So yeah, it's a big event. And I guess where I'm going at with this, and you're right, this is a non-issue. It's not, weather's not going to be an issue, but the thing is, I guess really more than anything is, they started saying, hey, we're going to have issues with the Super Bowl. A lot of people say, hey, man, the Super Bowl needs to be somewhere warm. It's the Super Bowl. We work really hard to go somewhere warm. Of course, I guess that's why they have the Pro Bowl. All right, $2 bill. Josh, we're going to talk to about another. We'll try to address a lot of these storylines, and we're just kind of giving some teasers. So obviously, tomorrow, $2 bill, Josh and I and others, and certainly, Ed, you're more than welcome to join us. But we'll be talking and breaking down the Super Bowl for 2 hours. So we got to save some of our stuff for 2 hours. So we're just kind of giving some teasers. But $2 bill, Josh, I'm going to give you this. This is a perfect question for you. Will Pete Carroll join Jimmy Johnson and Barry Switzer in a very elite coaching group? I think, really, the architect of the Seahawks has a chance to join a very, very elite group of coaches. A lot of Pete Carroll haters out there, but Pete Carroll, is he an elite coach? Or is he, as people say, haters will be haters, is Pete Carroll the real deal?
Absolutely, Pete Carroll's the real deal. There was a poll done earlier in the week. Most NFL players said they would love to play for Pete Carroll. The difference between Barry Switzer and Jimmy Johnson and Pete Carroll is public hated Jimmy Johnson. Public hated Barry Switzer. They're still hated outside of the Cowboy and Dolphin organizations and wherever else Barry Switzer might have coached. I'm not that old, sorry. And Pete Carroll's a great guy. He's fired up. He's very much a guy I would love to have a beer with. Unfortunately, that'll probably never happen. But once again, I'm going to say, and I'm going to tell you why, Seattle's going to rout Denver tomorrow.
All right, we're looking forward. Chad, $2. Chad Axel, man, all your nicknames are running together as bad as the dang Roman numerals. Axel, will the return of Percy Harvin be the game's ultimate X factor? Percy Harvin has barely been on the field in his first season in Seattle after being acquired in a trade from the Minnesota Vikings. Percy Harvin, is he a real ultimate X factor for Seattle this year?
Well, it depends on whether he gets a concussion during the coin toss running into the referee. So,
right, good point.
Yeah. I mean, that guy has like had migraines and concussions and the slightest of things recently. So it's kind of like relying on him is not something the Seahawks are going to do. I mean, the Seahawks best still, I mean, it's the same way that the Giants beat Jim Kelly in that Norwood wide right field goal miss Super Bowl, and the same way the Saints beat the Colts, the same way Eli Manning beat Brady in the first Super Bowl head-to-head, making them go 18-1. So it's shrinking the number of possessions, controlling clock, playing good defense, and keeping their quarterback off the field. In this case, it was Jim Kelly, Peyton Manning, and Tom Brady. That's going to be the recipe. I mean, there is absolutely no doubt if they try to get into a shootout with Peyton, it's going to be disastrous, in my opinion. And contrary to what Seattle fans think, when they're playing without the 12th man, Andrew Luck put on a whooping on them. And Peyton Manning can do so as well if those guys kind of play out of their elements. So, yes, it can be a factor in the return game. I just don't know if they would be willing to run the whole 9 yards of plays and count on him for excessive number of snaps with Percy Harvin. And so their majority of the plays would be around the read option with Marshawn Lynch and running the game and bootlegs and Russell Wilson hitting the open guy as soon as he gets out of the top. That's what? Still their staple, and that's what they're going to do. So.
Right. That's a perfect segue into my next question for Ed. You know, you look at the two workhorses, if you will, Moreno and Marshawn Lynch. And I don't think there's any question that Marshawn Lynch is a key ingredient to the Seattle Seahawks. But Moreno might upstage him. I mean, really, I guess the question is, can Moreno outshine Marshawn Lynch in his homecoming, which, by the way, he's a hometown boy.
Yeah, no, I don't think that's going to happen. I think Moreno runs more just to show the run rather than relying on him. You know, but if the Broncos are going to win, it's going to be Peyton Manning that's going to get them there. If the Seahawks are going to win, it's going to be Marshawn Lynch that's going to get them there because, you know, Marshawn Lynch has been a guy all year. He's had 250 yards in two playoff games this year. And, you know, Russell Wilson –
is still a very young quarterback, still developing. He's never thrown the ball more than 31 times in a game this year, which is amazing. So they're not going to want Russell Wilson to win this game. They're going to want to be patient in the run game and let Marshawn Lynch carry it as much as he can. Whereas Moreno, they'll give him the ball, but I think it's just to show, hey, look, we're keeping you honest, we're going to run the ball. But it's going to be Peyton Manning that's going to throw to that plethora of receiver and targets that he has. That's going to win it for the Broncos if they're going to win it. Now, if they start having success with Moreno and he starts breaking off big chunks of yards, 5, 6, 7, 8 yards at a clip, then maybe they stick to it a little more. But I just don't see them doing that against this defense. This defense won't allow Moreno to get started. So they're going to have to win it with Manning, and the Seahawks are going to have to win it with Lynch.
Well, and I think that, you know, that's really the tale of two cities, if you will, in this particular. That part of the biggest storyline is Lynch versus Manning. And, you know, an interesting, I know this sounds like Jay Leno, but interesting statistic. A lot of people don't even know who the quarterback for Seattle is. And so, interesting twist there that it is the Lynch-Manning show. But also WWE NFL-style Rich Sherman. What am I talking about, me? We cannot have a Super Bowl special without talking about Will Sherman. And Will Sherman is a perfect thing for a $2 bill, Josh Rant. Josh, you're on the Hawk bandwagon. You can't jump off now. Can Will Sherman walk the talk?
Well, first of all, it's Richard Sherman. Second of all,
I'm so sorry. I said Will Sherman. See, I'm all messed up. Richard Sherman. Thank you, Josh. Thank you for pointing out the flaws on my own show, man. Go ahead.
Well, first of all, I think you can't. He's a Stanford grad. He played for Jim Harbaugh down at Stanford. That means he's incredibly smart, and I love Richard Sherman. Shame on you, Indianapolis Colts, for not having a guy like Richard Sherman. Hopefully we can find one in the draft. Question is, and I want to get the answer from Ed, Axel, and you, Tom. Is Andrew's going to be foolish enough to stick a microphone in Sherman's face after the Seahawks win the Super Bowl? What do you think, Ed?
Well, I think if they win, yeah, sure, why not? Let it rip. You know, it's the last game of the year. I would stick a microphone in his face and see what he has to say this time. Especially if he makes a big play late, you know, let's see what he has to say this time. Let's see if he, you know, he learned his lesson, so to speak, and he won't be as brash. You know, the only problem I had with Richard Sherman doing what he did was just how he belittled
Crabtree.
The receiver, Crabtree, right, saying that sorry receiver, Michael Crabtree. You know, I don't really like, you know, I have a problem when you start, you know, calling out your teammates and, you know, they say they always, you know, I just don't agree with that. But, I mean, I have no problem with his brashness and, you know, that he brings that to the field. And you're right, the Colts could use some of that. The Eagles could use some of that. A lot of teams in the NFL could use that sort of brashness. But don't belittle another receiver to make yourself look better. That's the only problem I have with Richard Sherman. Other than that, he is probably the best cornerback in the league right now.
Well, you know, it's interesting on that. And maybe Pete Carroll will tell Sherman, hey, stay away from anybody with a camera, just stay away from them and go out there and play football. So, Axel, you feel free to go ahead and answer Josh's question before you answer my question. But, you know, Jason Hammer and I talked about this earlier on, and that's Peyton Manning's legacy. And we look at John Elway and Peyton Manning, what they've done for both cities. And you look at them stand side by side, the two generals, if you will, of the league, who have really transformed cities. John Elway, Peyton Manning, Peyton Manning's legacy is there. It's intact. Talk with me a little bit about Axel, Peyton Manning's legacy compared to John Elway. I just think when you look at those two side by side, what they're like Lewis and Clark of the NFL, Chad.
Yes. I mean, what is lost in this conversation is, I mean, John Elway alluded to this and said, this conversation is never going to end. So there is never, ever going to be the best of all time decided at any point in time. So there will be another Manning and Brady that will come up 10, 15 years later, and you will go through all of this all over again. And so basically you have to compare salary cap era versus the pre-salary cap era when Joe Montana had all those loaded 49ers teams. And when comparing quarterback legacies, it always has to be a totality. I mean, if two quarterbacks like Big Ben and Eli have the same number of Super Bowl rings, you can use their regular season consistency as a tiebreaker. If two quarterbacks have the same amount of regular season success like Jim Kelly and Brett Favre, you could use Super Bowl rings possibly as a tiebreaker. And so basically everything has to be considered in totality. I mean, people, I mean, you can't put Trent Dilfer over Dan Marino for the same reason, and the same with other great quarterbacks like Jim Kelly. And so that's why things have to be considered in totality. And if you consider things in totality, I really don't think Peyton elevates himself any more if he wins the Super Bowl than if he loses the Super Bowl. Yes, getting multiple rings is a kind of like a might push you from a top 10 conversation to a top 5 conversation. Yes, I can give you that. But beyond that, it does not cement anything. It just gives him the extra credential that he won a Super Bowl with two different teams, though there were several similarities in the offense that he put together, the offensive system. And I do think the biggest difference this year has been Adam Gase, who reminds me of Josh McDaniels, young Josh McDaniels. And that's been the biggest thing. I mean, so many small subtleties come into the game where they pass on running downs and run on passing downs, keeping the defense guessing, because Peyton Manning's offenses have been a little more predictable in the past, and his coaches being more conservative. And John Fox, I mean, it's kind of like sometimes you wonder, it's like Bill Belichick, that 4th-and-2 game, even if he lost, he did the right thing, put the game in the hands of your Hall of Fame quarterback who can win it for you. And it what? Took John Fox a gut-wrenching loss to the playoffs to the Ravens to realize that he had to finish the games at the hands of Peyton Manning, and he has done so with the Chargers and the Patriots game. I mean, it shouldn't take a coach that long. And so basically, Peyton has played for a little bit of conservative coaches, in my opinion, and he would have benefited playing for somebody like Sean Payton, Bill Belichick, Mike McCarthy, and even Pete Carroll.
All right, well, guys, I tell you what, man, time flies when you're having fun. Guys, we got to take a break. We got 30 more minutes left of Super Bowl talk. Ed, are you going to stay around or you got to go?
I'm going to have to bail out right now, Tom.
Man,
but,
dude.
I know. I have some things I got to take care of here, mostly son-related, is wrestling today. But
that's it. Hey, you got to be a dad. You know, it's God. Family this Super Bowl, although some people might argue with you. Ed, it's been a pleasure having you on this season throughout the NFL season. I'm looking forward to having you on over on the Hot Corner as we get closer to spring and talk some baseball. But, Ed, have yourself a good and safe Super Bowl 48.
Thanks very much, Tom. You do the same. Talk soon.
All right, buddy. Bye. Ed Kratz at Calkins Media, a beat writer for the Philadelphia Eagles. $2 bill, Josh, you staying or going? Josh, maybe he's already. Are you there, Josh?
Okay. Yeah, I'm gonna stick around to the end of the show, Tom.
All right. What about you, Axel? You staying or going?
I'm probably leaving in about 10 minutes.
All right, guys, we're gonna take a break. Be right back. And you know, hey, one of the great, when we get back, our conversation is going to be some of the greatest Super Bowls ever. We're going to really get into that conversation tomorrow, but we're going to talk about that. And, guys, one of the greatest Super Bowl memories is the Super Bowl Shuffle. $2 bill Josh may not remember that. Josh, do you remember the Super Bowl Shuffle?
No, I was 1 year old when that happened, I believe.
Oh, what about you, Axel? Do you remember the Super
nope.
Bowl Shuffle? Oh, my God.
Nope.
You know, Jason Hammer and I were talking about this at the beginning of the show. We feel old. All right, guys, real quickly, the Super Bowl Shuffle was back in the day when Mike Ditka and the Bears, and you had Refrigerator Perry, and you had that whole gang out there, and they played the New England Patriots. They got together, and they did a music video. That was back when MTV was MTV, and they actually played music videos. It was huge. It was groundbreaking. It was the Super Bowl Shuffle. We'll be right back.
We are the sweetness, and I like to dance. Running the ball is like making romance. We had the goal since training camp to give Chicago a Super Bowl champ. We're not doing this because we're greedy. The Bears are doing it to feed the needy. We didn't come here to look for trouble. We just came here to do the Super Bowl shuffle.
You're looking at the fridge. I'm the rookie. I may be large, but I'm no dumb cookie. You see me hit, you see me run. When a kick and pass, we'll have more fun. I can dance, you will see. The others, they all learn from me. I don't come here looking for trouble. I just came to do the Super Bowl shuffle.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Today's consumer spends 1.4 times as many hours using social networking sites than reading and responding to email. Marquee Solutions works with your company to build a solid social strategy. They are with you from start to finish, always there to help you navigate through the complexities of social media. Call Marquee Solutions today, 317-903-8063. That's 317-903-8063. Marquee Solutions. Work with them today.
Final half hour of Super Bowl weekend, getting you all geared up for the Super Bowl, Super Bowl 48. We've had a great show. Jason Hammer joined us of the Hammer Nigel Show. Sean Horton, we took a little break from the Super Bowl talk and talked some soccer in the Indy 11. Sean Horton's going to be our new official correspondent for the Indy 11 and expert in the soccer area. And then we got back into American football talk with Ed Kratz, $2 Bill Josh, and Axel. We got 30 minutes left, guys, and we're going to be talking with you about Super Bowl. And, guys, I want to just keep telling you this, and it's on our social media and everything. Tomorrow, same time, and all of our affiliate stations, you may have to check the listings for that. Some of them may not be playing, or some of our affiliates may not be playing our Super Bowl special. Hey, their loss, our gain. But you guys can always hear us right here on the Balance Radio Network. $2 Bill, Josh, and Axel, guys. We got 30 minutes left. Let's get geared up for Super Bowl 48. I want to ask each one of you guys, in memories, we were joking a little bit about the Super Bowl shuffle. But there's certain things that make memories some of the most memorable Super Bowls. A lot of times it's not the actual game itself. A lot of times it might be commercials. A lot of times it might be something different. But what is, for whatever reason, we'll ask each of you that, your most memorable Super Bowl? We'll start with you, Axel.
Well, my most memorable moment was when I saw a boob.
A boob! Wait, time out. First of all, that wasn't that long ago. And I know, I know you had to have seen a boob. That surely wasn't the first time you ever saw a boob. Your most memorable Super Bowl was the first time you saw a boob. I love it.
In the Super Bowl.
In the Super Bowl.
I wasn't expecting it. I didn't know I saw it until I got confirmation the next day.
Hey, was that a booby? Did I just see a booby? Hey, that was a booby. I love it. Hey, you know what? Hey, you know, I don't know if that was a wardrobe malfunction or not, but that's a booby. You know, we all love boobies. I mean, I know we got a lot of female listeners, and I know this is male chauvinist, but us dudes, we love boobies. And our most memorable Super Bowl is the booby. The booby pick. All right. The booby peak. I didn't even know it was a booby till the next day. All right. $2 bill, Josh. Outside of a booby, I guess, what was your favorite? I guess the booby was 10 years ago. So I guess, Axel, you'd been like 10 or 13 years old. You know what? Here I am. I'm dating myself again, you know. I love it. At 10 years old, I guess seeing a booby is it. I mean, I'm with you. 10, 13 years old. Whoa, is that with a booby? All the kids at school talking about it the next day. Would you guys see the booby? Yesterday at the Super Bowl, it was the booby. $2 bill, Josh. Josh, do you remember the first time you saw a boob? Was it the Super Bowl or what? Oh, I'm gonna start laughing so hard I'm crying. Man, $2 bill, Josh, get us back, man.
Well, my Super Bowl memory is the first Super Bowl I'm really old enough to remember. I mean, I've seen plenty of them before then, but the first one that actually sticks out, and I remember, just happens to be the Colts beating the Bears. I remember the halftime show. I don't remember that game. So the first Super Bowl I actually remember is also my favorite, when the Colts beat the Bears.
Ooh, yes, a football game. I can't recover. You know, there's sometimes things just happen, just make you just lose all composure. What's the most memorable Super Bowl? Hey, we want to ask our fans, what's your most memorable Super Bowl? What's your most memorable Super Bowl? The first time I saw boob. I love it. Thanks, Axel. Man, I'll tell you what, I don't know. I don't know that I've laughed that hard in so long. Oh, goodness. Once we see that first boob, it's no going back. We just keep looking at them. We just can't take our eyes off of them. Classic. Well, guys, you know, there's a lot of memorable Super Bowls out there, obviously, and for a lot of different reasons. And, you know, commercials and a lot goes into the Super Bowl as far – and it's become a holiday. Apparently, it's become a rite of passage among among young men that are just in pre-pubertal years. The Super Bowl. Oh, that's why we're such good Super Bowl fans, you know. Man, you know, I guess that, you know what? I bet you that has got to be one of the top 10 most memorable Super Bowl moments, that's for sure. But, yeah, I should pull myself together. But I think that was a booby. Oh, my God. Dude, man, you totally just threw me off. And you know what? This might go in the highlight reel for tomorrow. Let's go backwards. Let's try to regain composure here, guys. Last year, I think one of the most memorable parts of last year's Super Bowl was lights out. And Josh, you were here. Chad, you didn't make it to my Super Bowl party last year. But of course,
I was overseas. I was kind of following it online, so.
Yeah, I mean, we were like, did the lights just go out? That was just right after. At first, we thought that was part of the halftime thing. So last year, I think, was probably one of the most of last year's Super Bowl was the lights out in last year's Super Bowl. And really, that was a great Super Bowl. You know, the Baltimore Ravens really edged out. Let me ask you this, Josh, and let's get back on point here. No more talking about boobies, but let's get back on point. Josh, did the lights going out play to the favor of the Ravens winning that Super Bowl?
I'm going to say yes, and I'm also going to say, Roger Goodell, I don't buy your story, and it's been a year. The NFL, those lights did not happen to accidentally go out. Ray Lewis, I agree with you to this day, and I will agree with you a decade from now. Roger Goodell went, hey, somebody get a hold of the light dude and tell him to turn the lights off. That's in order.
I think that's a conspiracy. Wait a minute. Let me make sure I get what you're saying. Are you saying that Roger Goodell said turn the lights out?
I'm saying I agree with Ray Lewis when he says that Roger Goodell ordered the lights to go out.
All right.
Well, I agree with Josh, actually. I agree with Josh because the thing is, Super Bowl is all about rating and revenue and other things. When it gets lopsided, the ratings drop, the revenue drops, the ad revenue drops, all that stuff. So basically, I mean, NFL rarely wants to see a lopsided Super Bowl. And so basically, I just don't know. It just doesn't add up to me that New Orleans, that has hosted so many Super Bowls in the past, even as recent as the one that the Patriots won during their dynasty. And so basically it's well-versed to holding big events and having all the infrastructure necessary to host a party and a Super Bowl. So, and for it to happen as a first-time occurrence for 20 minutes, I mean, 49ers came roaring back. I mean, it's almost like the momentum was taken out of the Ravens' wings or something like that. Not to be confused with the chicken wings that Flacco and Kaepernick think of.
you still got boobs on your mind, man. You know, I don't know. I tell you what, I've heard that conspiracy theory, and I am the biggest conspiracy theory guy out there, but I just can't imagine if that was proven, that would ruin Roger Goodell's legacy forever. Well, let's go on. Another great Super Bowl, 1987. I understand, guys, that's when I graduated high school. Y'all were still thinking about boobies, but some of you weren't even alive in 1987, but after trailing 10-9, the Denver Broncos at halftime against the New York Giants, right? Little Manning there with in the Super Bowl, 39-20. It was in a large part to a classy performer by a quarterback that we know very well, Phil Simms. Yes, the same guy with the southern jaw y'all hear and commenting on CBS games every Sunday. Phil Simms, 1987 Super Bowl. Josh?
I haven't even seen that on the NFL networks if we play the Super Bowl, let alone I was like 2 years old when that happened, so I don't have a clue what you're talking about other than Phil Simms is apparently Hall of Famer, who I don't remember playing.
All right. Chad, Axel, are you familiar with the 1987 Super Bowl?
Yes, I have seen it on NFL Network and seen a lot of commentary on it. And also remember John Elway days where he carried a lot of Greek teams on his back, only to get blown out in the Super Bowl, it seemed like, time and time and again. So he was 0-3 the first, and they weren't even competitive in the first three Super Bowls. And so it's kind of like, the NFC was the stronger conference that year, that decade. So with the 49ers and Giants, and then Buffalo Bills later making four Super Bowls, and then the Cowboys. So basically, it seems like NFC had teams that could spend money pre-salary cap era. Then once the salary cap came over, then we had this run of AFC teams being good for a decade. And now the NFC has become more prominent again. I mean, Tom Brady and Peyton Manning would have struggled to get to the conference championship game in the NFC, which is considerably deeper, in my opinion. And good thing that they're still in the AFC. AFC is kind of going down a little bit. And Andrew Luck might be in a good situation a few years from now. He will have multiple chances to make it to the Big Dance with a shortage of elite quarterbacks when Brady and Manning retire.
Absolutely. And there you go. $2 bill, Josh, has been on the NFL Network. Guys, I know I'm dating myself again, and I was young. I will admit I was young when this, but I do remember the 1973 Dolphins. And now, Josh, I know you've seen them on the NFL Network. Certainly the only time in my lifetime, anyway, we've seen a complete perfect season. And that was led by Bob Greasy, who, by the way, is from Evansville. And his son did not make it too well in the NFL. Ironically enough, and when you want to do full 360, his son was a quarterback for the Denver Broncos. So the Dolphins' perfect season, 1973, certainly one of the most memorable Super Bowls of all time, and certainly I don't know that we'll ever see a 1973 Miami Dolphins-type team again, Josh.
Well, we have seen a 1973-type team. They just didn't get the job done, thanks to Eli Manning. But that was a different era, and I don't really think we should still continue to glorify the 73 Dolphins. Yes, they went undefeated, but that was almost an entirely different type of NFL. There is zero chance in today's salary cap era, mainly the free agent this year that you'll ever see another undefeated team. So I think it's time we put them to bed, acknowledge they went undefeated, but also put an asterisk. That was a different NFL.
Well, you know, one could argue, one could say that there was, talking about memorable Super Bowls, 2008, David Tyree uses his helmet to catch a ball. And did that ball catch in the Patriots' perfect season if that had to happen? So I don't know that we could say that free agencies and stuff would create lack of a perfect season, because the New England Patriots almost did it back in 2008. The closest anyone has ever come to eliminate or breaking that 1972 Dolphin record was in 2007-2008 New England Patriots, who lost their perfect record for the season in a huge 17-14 upset against the Giants out there in Arizona. Are you there, Josh?
Well, I would agree with that, but bottom line, it didn't happen, and I doubt we'll ever see another undefeated team, but hopefully, maybe, if it has to happen. If it's going to be another one, hopefully Andrew Luck can be the quarterback of it. I'm just saying.
Well, you know, we were talking about great quarterbacks, and earlier in the show we were talking about John Elway and the legacy of Peyton Manning and those two together and what they did to transform a city. You gotta throw in conversation some of the best Super Bowls ever. John Elway himself getting his Super Bowl ring back in 1998. He was almost like a Dan Marino. Just really a great quarterback, but never got the ring itself. And John Elway has certainly been regarded as one of the greatest quarterbacks of all time. And certainly now, Peyton Manning's boss in a lot of ways. And a lot of people said John Elway could never win the big one. A lot of people used to say Peyton Manning can't win the big one. So you gotta say that John Elway getting his Super Bowl ring in 1998 was one of the most memorable Super Bowls of all time.
That absolutely is a very certain memorable Super Bowl. And speaking of legacy, if Peyton Manning doesn't win tomorrow, his legacy is going to be he's Jim Kelly with the ring.
There's probably some argument for that. I think he'll win. I think that he'll win, absolutely. Speaking of the Colts, and the Patriots, of course, he was with the Patriots then. Vinatieri shocks the Rams back in 2002. Remember that? The only Super Bowl to be won in the very last play of the game, and our very own Adam Vinatieri did the job and really caused one of the biggest Super Bowl, biggest upsets ever when Adam Vinatieri made a game-winning 48-yard field goal as time expired to shock the Rams 20-17.
Well, at the time that game was happening live, I was a senior in high school, so I was doing a term paper during the game, but I remember seeing it on NFL Network several times.
You were looking at boobies, weren't you? You know, I very, very don't very often lose composure, but that did it. That was classic. All right, Joe, you know, hey, this is a great commercial. Have you seen the new Papa John's commercial where Peyton Manning, the Papa John guy, they got the classic quarterback, Camaro, and then they've got they go through this time warp, if you will, and they're like, man, I wish we could bring back everything of 1989, and there's Joe Montana. Of course, we're Joe Montana, again, one of the great quarterbacks of all time, led the 49ers above all teams to a classy late 1989 win. And I was in college in 1989. And to me, a classic Super Bowl with a classic finish with 3 minutes left on the clock, and the San Francisco 49ers were down 16-13 to the Bengals when they took over the offense on their own 8-yard line, and the 49ers offense huddled up and waited to hear from their great Joe Montana. In a lot of ways, Joe Montana could be in that conversation as one of the greatest quarterbacks ever, but certainly that was one of the greatest Super Bowls ever, Joe Montana in 1989 Super Bowl.
That certainly was one of my favorite Super Bowls to watch a replay of. And by the way, Joe Montana went to college right here in Indiana. I don't know if you ever had the pleasure of meeting him since you both went to college here. But he did go to Notre Dame.
Are you there, Josh?
Yeah, I was saying I don't know if you ever got to meet Joe Montana. I know you guys both went to college here in the state of Indiana. I don't know if you ever ran into each other or not.
I've never met him. I've never met him. All right, guys, we got one more. Remember the 2000 Super Bowl where the Titans were just barely there, fell short on the one-yard line. And a Super Bowl really has never gone into overtime, but the Tennessee Titans came just 1 yard of extending it in 2000 into overtime, and they lost to the Rams 23-16 on the very last play of the game with the Titans. Are you there, Josh?
Yes, that was a great Super Bowl, and it wasn't very many years later that Steve McNair's life tragically ended, so that was probably the highlight of his NFL career and maybe his life overall. So tomorrow, now that we talked about that, will be kind of a sad memory, but it was the highlight of his NFL career. So.
Well, we'll certainly get into that tomorrow. Guys, tomorrow is our annual Super Bowl special. And I tell you what, it's going to be fun. Myself, $2 Bill Josh. I know for a fact Nat Hicks from 1070 The Fan is going to be joining us as well. And we've probably got some other people going to be calling in. And, guys, be here tomorrow, 9 to 11. You're going to have – we're going to be the first Super Bowl stop for you. Before you go to the Puppy Bowl, before you do anything else. All right, $2 Bill Josh, you got 60 seconds to rant about Super Bowl 48. Go.
Tune in tomorrow night at 6:30 on Fox as the Seattle Seahawks are going to shut Peyton Manning up once and for all. And Peyton, after you lose tomorrow, make the right choice. You have two 23-year-old sons. Retire and walk away, Peyton, whether you win or lose. While you can still pick up your sons and before you get another neck injury. You're a great Colt, but it's time you make the right choice, Peyton.
All right, guys. $2 Bill Josh, thanks for joining us. We'll see you tomorrow. Guys, we're in our final moments here of the show. I'm going to give you a few bits of wisdom, as I always do here at the end of the show. It is time for Peyton Manning, maybe. We got to start realizing that Peyton Manning will not be in the NFL. Certainly, he has all the drive, all the competitive spirit. We all want to see him. He doesn't want to leave the game. I agree with $2 Bill Josh. Maybe the time has come for Peyton Manning. But more importantly, it's time for us as fans to step back and admire one of the greatest quarterbacks ever that you'll ever see to play the game. Will it cause us tears when he walks away from the game? Absolutely. It gets me choked up just talking about it. But there comes a time when we have to say goodbye to our great heroes. Peyton Manning was one of those. And more for the fact of what he's done for the sport and what he's done for a city that we love very, very much. Peyton Manning, we love you. We're rooting for you tomorrow. Go Broncos. I hope everybody has a safe Super Bowl Sunday. Guys, I cannot wait to talk to you tomorrow. It's going to be great. I tell you what, we're going to be breaking down the Seahawks. We're going to be breaking down the Broncos. We're going to be talking about the most memorable Super Bowls. We're going to be talking about commercials. We're going to be talking about how the Seahawks got there. We're going to be talking about how the Broncos got there. We're going to be talking about who's the better player. We're going to be breaking every angle down, every story down. You know what? We may even talk a little bit about the Puppy Bowl. We may talk a little bit about, some obscure things like boobies. How fun was that today? And so you guys do not want to miss our show tomorrow. We do this every year right here on the Balance Radio Network. You can follow us on Twitter at TBalance, on Facebook, The Balance. Guys, you really have to be a part of the show tomorrow. You're what makes it happen with us. You are our legacy. You, our minions, are what makes it happen for us. Remember, you guys can also catch us on iTunes and all of our other Balance affiliates. We want to thank all of our fans on Indiana Talks and our affiliates across the United States. My name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. My minions, you have a safe and Super Bowl weekend. Don't drink and drive. Remember, it isn't cool. My name is Tom Marquis. Hey, I'll see you tomorrow.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.